black thing go from left to right, and I thought, I'm going to die out here. No one's ever going to know.
And I couldn't believe what my eyeballs were showing me. I'll never forget how evil the eyes were. It was horrible. I mean, I've never seen nothing that evil.
It ran towards me at a rate that I can't even explain. Turned and stared at me. And this look of, I just want to kill you. I want to say it was human, but it wasn't.
He was yelling at me to grab a gun, grab a gun. I was like, for what? He said, just grab a gun. And there's footprints all the way to the door of my house. It had went inside my garage all the way to the door.
911, what are you reporting?
Jesus Christ, you better... Sheriff, see
ya. Hello?
Get somebody out here.
What's going on now, sir?
That son of a bitch is about 6'9", I don't know.
Do you see him now, sir?
Yes, I'm looking right at him.
Uh-oh.
You're listening to Sasquatch Chronicles. Check us out online at sasquatchchronicles.com. If you've had an encounter, email me. My email address is wes@sasquatchchronicles.com. Welcome to the show, everyone. Thanks for being here tonight. Got a great show planned for you tonight. We're releasing the show a little bit early. Kind of had a mix up with some of my guests, but thanks for being here anyway. It's a great start to the weekend. And if you get a chance, check out SasquatchChronicles.com. You can become a member. I have a lot of merchandise there on the site too as well. Please help yourself. I put a lot of work into making sure it's quality products up there. It's stuff that, you know, if I'm not going to wear it, I wouldn't give it to someone, let alone try and sell it. So if you get a chance, check out some of the merchandise. It's pretty cool. I hope to see you guys at the International Bigfoot Conference next week. If you get a chance, go to the internationalbigfootconference.com and get your tickets. If you're a member of the site, swing by the vendor table. I have a little special gift for you, and if you get a chance, you know, you can come see me beat my brother in poker too as well. Should be a complete blast, and I'm really looking forward to it. Looking forward to meeting you guys. Let's jump into it tonight. Josh is from Canada, and I actually had Josh's friend on, a couple hundred episodes ago, and he had recounted this story, and Josh had contacted me. And I said, God, I've heard this before. And it came out that his friend was on the show. So now you get the other side of the story when they were out and they saw a monkey, quote unquote, monkey coming down from a tree. Should be an interesting night. Let's jump into it. I want to welcome Josh to the show. Josh, thanks for coming on.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no, it's nice to have you on. Like I was telling you before, I know I had your friend on. Who originally told me this encounter, but it's nice to have you on to tell the other side. And I'm sure for a lot of listeners of the show, they'll recognize this encounter. But again, it's nice to have it from the other perspective. And for the audience, would you kind of start from the beginning, kind of tell us what you're out doing and just kind of walk us into what happened?
Sure. Yeah, no, I think it's pretty cool. If my other friend was on, you know, was on here and, you know, you're kind of going to get two angles of the story. So I think that's pretty rare. So yeah, we'll kind of get it started. We were young, 8 or 9. Can't remember the exact year, you know, age, but we were young. Grew up in a large city here in Canada, Toronto. And, we really didn't get out to the country that often. At least I didn't. My friend and his father, they would get away quite often, from what I recall. So I was delighted when I was asked to go on a camping excursion with these guys because, you know, they rolled pretty hard and they did things, you know, the right way. So when in terms of the country, you know, they always had all this gear when I go over to their house. So I was pretty excited. We were to go away to a cave system up in a place called the Kawarthas up here in Ontario. So Kawarthas, for those that don't know, there's a major city named Peterborough. And this, the place we went, I don't mind saying, was a place called Warsaw Caves. And it's a major cave system, just outside of Peterborough, from what I recall. So, I got the okay to go up, and on the way up, my friend looks at me and says, you know, it's going to be a good weekend because, you know, my dad, after dinner one night, he's going to take off and we have to go find him. And, you know, that's kind of the highlight for me. And I said, oh yeah, me too. You know, as kids, you know, you like kind of traveling around and trying to, you know, dig up whatever trouble you can. So I thought that was pretty exciting and looking forward to that. So we got up there, I think on the Friday. And we, you know, we went, kind of got settled, and then we're going to get up real early the next day to go through the cave systems and, you know, have a day of it. So, you know, Saturday morning came around and we got up really early and we started going through these caves, and it was an experience I'll never forget. I don't think it's for me, but, you know, I'm glad I went through it at least once. You know, it was hair raising. I don't know if any of it's correlated, and I don't think it is, but it's, I had a near death experience in the cave. I was telling you, right. And it's, it kind of changed my perspective and the way I approach problems, you know, my entire life now. I'm a little more cautious in things because, you know, I trusted these guys to pull me across this thing, and they kind of left me there in the middle of this lurch. So, you know, we're coming through this, these tight squeezes, and the way it would work is, his dad would go up first with the flashlight. We only had one flashlight, go figure, kind of ridiculous. He would pass the light back to his son, who would then go through. And of course, I'd be last, you know, the least experienced. So, you know, I'd come up the rear and try and come through, you know, as a novice. And these guys would squeeze through holes I just can't believe they would do. So I had to kind of copy this. So we came through one area, I remember. And there was this ledge that was like a kind of a, you know, maybe on a, I don't know. It's, you know, a little bit of a slant, right? Nothing major. Don't know the degree of the slant, but just, you know, picture a slanted sort of rocky face. And then on the end of that, you know, there might've been 5 feet, and then there was a drop off. So, you know, Steve went across and just went across, no problem. And then his son went across and he grabbed, and I started going across, and my back foot slipped. And my top foot grabbed. So I've got kind of this lean going on where I have one foot, and I know if I move, I'm going to slide. And, you know, they're 5 feet away. They can't come because they have nothing to grab when they grab me. So I'm on my own here, and, you know, there's nothing to grab. I'm trying to bend down, put my fingers in the rocks, and I can't. And I feel that I'm giving way. And I'm about to go down, and it was a drop off where I would have broken my neck. I probably would have been, you know, wouldn't be here today. So, all I can remember though is this happening. And then all of a sudden I got this surge of, I don't know what you call it, you know, just a surge of like, you can do this. So I stood up, and all of a sudden it felt like my feet had glue on them. And I'm on kind of ice, but all of a sudden it's like I had spikes on my feet. And I walked across this thing like nothing had happened. And it was kind of an incredible moment. So it was a pretty interesting little thing that happened, right? A precursor to what, this experience I had next, right? With these guys. So, So, you know, we finished off the cave system, you know, once I wiped the tears off my face after going through that, and, you know, we went back, had some food, and sure enough, you know, after dinner, hey, where'd your dad go? So, you know, his dad, well, we don't call him John. Where's John? John went missing. Okay, we got to go find John. John is dad. So my friend and I, you know, we get excited, put the bug spray on, and here we go. So, you know, we start going out in the forest, and we're looking around, and we're trying to find him. And, you know, we're going up slopes and around. We're going through farm fields and forest and more farm fields and another forest. And then we see a road. So we start walking up this road, right? And, you know, I want you to picture a road where you're walking straight up it. And then at the end of this road, maybe about, you know, 100 feet in front of you, it takes a sharp right. So it's an L, right? Up and then right. And just as it's making the right, there's a natural kind of depression, you know, where like almost like what you think a campsite would look like, right? Just it's clear cut, maybe about 20 by 20, right? And then at the end of this, though, there's trees. So it's like, you know, the road starts, then this kind of grassy little bit, and then trees start again, and they're birch trees. So we're walking up to this kind of clearing, and we're just kind of talking and talking. And then all of a sudden I can hear my friend, and he says, look, a monkey. But he said it like, look, a monkey, like that. And I'm like, I look over and I don't know. And then I hear it. And I hear something coming out of a tree, right? And I can kind of see leaves falling, things, debris falling from a certain tree. I look up it, and sure enough, there's what looks to me like a black monkey. And I identified it not being a bear right away because just the shape of its back and how skinny and long the legs were. And I think I told you this, Wes, it wasn't big. It was skinnier than us, but a little bit taller, but it wasn't big. It was this kind of scrawny little thing, right? And you know, when we looked over, it's scurrying down, and it's coming down this thing, and its legs are, you know, clamping as it comes down, like rap. I can vividly remember the feet just bang, bang as it's coming down, right? And I'm not looking up at its body, but more so the legs. I don't know why. That's just what I was kind of focusing on, because it was just so interesting how it was doing this and effortless. And then, you know, I was expecting it to go right down to the bottom like that, but from pretty high up, it jumped and it landed without anything. It just landed. And it looked at us, and it gave out a screech. So it gave out a strong yell. And I think I explained it sounding like a barred owl, but it wasn't a barred owl. It was a high pitched, you know, screech. Right. And when it looked at us after that, it took off, and it took off on all fours. Right. So it's bounding, and it's kind of not like a dog would run. But and not like a chimp either. I it's hard to explain. It was almost just like a, you know, like, I don't know. It's almost like a man when it tries to imitate it, right? You know, being on all fours. So it's running, it's going like this. And it's all of a sudden I see its arm come up and it grabs the ground, and it either hits the ground or it picks something up and it throws a stick in the air, or a stick went flying in the air. And I felt like that was a sign of, you know, aggression. Don't follow me, right? I'm going, but don't follow me. That's the feeling I had from it. I could be completely wrong, but that's the vibe I got, because we were giggling kind of, as I was telling my family on the way here that I was going to be on the show. I was explaining to them the story again, and I was telling them that, you know, we were kind of laughing as this thing was coming down, because we thought we were looking at some sort of, you know, zoo animal. And so, as I said, but once it threw that stick up, it got really, really real. And just after that, that's when it stood up, and now it's on its two legs as it's running. So it went from this four-legged quick run, and it was fast, to this two legs, and it's running, and it's dodging a tree behind a tree, and then it's gone, and it's silence. And the way I explain it, the forest just came right in on us, right? And it got so eerily quiet. You know, we made eye contact, my friend and I, and I could see in his eye there was concern. Certainly there was in my eye. And we turned and went back and left, right? And left the area. There was nothing else around. Nothing else happened. I didn't hear, you know, anything following us or anything like that. It was just that was kind of the end of it. We got back to the campsite, and it was like almost like they had the forest rangers out, because we were gone a long time. You know, we found out his father went the other way, and we were kind of in trouble. We tried to explain him to his father what had happened later on in the evening, and he just disregarded it. Like, you know, John, so we saw this monkey. He said, anyways, whatever, guys, you know, why did you go this, and why didn't you look up here for me? I thought so. It was just, we were kids and we were just babbling, but you know, I can certainly say we never forgot that. At least I didn't. But again, I didn't know what I was looking at, because I was so young, and there was no internet. TV stations might have been up to 30, right? So, you know, there wasn't these Sasquatch documentaries where you're able to just understand what you're, you know, looking at. So, you know, it wasn't until I was watching a show and I got lucky and there's eerie music on. And of course, you know, I think you told him, but yeah, I was In Search Of, and it was the Leonard Nimoy show. And I think a lot of people say that that's the show that, you know, either click something or gets them intrigued. And I think it's the music, because it creeped me out, man. And but while we're watching this, I can remember being with my parents and I jumped up and I said, that's what we saw, right? That's what we saw. That's what I've been telling you, though. We saw one of those. And I could tell my mom kind of realized and put the two and two together, because I told her about this story a few times, but it was a zoo animal then. Now it had become a Sasquatch. Just like that. And from that moment on, you know, I was telling you, I've just been hooked. But as I said, I didn't know what it was before then. And that's the incident that made it happen. So yeah, it's pretty unique, right?
It's very unique. Yeah. It's an amazing encounter. For the audience, were you able to see the face at all of this thing?
Yeah, I think I was telling you, I mean, when it came down and screeched, yeah, there was a definite, you know, there was a definite visual of what it was, right? That's when, you know, the focus came in. Okay, this is what we're looking at. But it was all black. Like, there was no real definitive, you know, I think I was telling you, other than the lips, right? That seemed to, but the way the hair went over the face, it was, I think, because it was so young, there was just no, it hadn't aged yet. You know, there wasn't all this definition and color. It was almost like a shadow, but certainly you could tell that it was yelling, because when it opened its mouth, the color changed. Right. But we're far enough away where I couldn't focus on teeth. Right. I can't tell you that it had sharp teeth, other than it did have teeth, you know, red in the mouth. But that was kind of the definition I saw. But it was jet black. The whole body was jet black and very, very thin, very thin. In fact, I was speaking with a friend of mine about this, who's, you know, he's involved in this. And he was saying that, you know, a lot of the encounters he's heard in our part of the continent, that they seem to be thinner like that. And he doesn't understand why. And, so yeah, Bill Brock, you know, Bill, right. So yeah, Bill was explaining that to me, and I thought that was interesting. And I started to research that a bit, but yeah, it just seemed to be like a very young juvenile Sasquatch. And it was certainly not like an Ewok, right. You know, short and portly and wobbling. It wasn't like that at all. It was like a little athlete, right. Very, very slim, but, you know, very maneuverable and just full of piss and vinegar. You know, so
yeah. Let me ask you, when you get back to camp, what happens? Do you tell the dad? I mean, I remember the story from the other witness, but
yeah,
what happens when you get back to camp?
So we walk into camp and his dad's there, and and my first glimpse of him, he's moving around like he's concerned. Like, I can tell he's about to go somewhere. And I can only assume it's to make a report on it. I don't know. Right. He turns real quick, and his mom's there, and they, you know, you can see them. She stands up because she was doing something low, and he turns, and they come immediately over to us and start berating us. You know, where were you guys? You know, what the hell took you so long? Because we were gone a long time. We went very far, right? And by the time we got back, it was almost black. It was almost dark out. So there was immediate concern and a bit of chaos. And, you know, we didn't say anything at the moment. It wasn't until things kind of died down later that we started, you know, a monkey and, you know, that. So yeah, we're in a bit of trouble when we got back.
So. Yeah, I can imagine. Did it change your mind as far as camping? I mean, did you, as far as going out there anymore? I realize you weren't really a outdoorsman at that point. You're just a kid. But did it change your mind as far as, you know, growing older and into an adult, wanting to go out and camp and what you might run into? I realize this isn't really an aggressive encounter, but it's weird. Yeah. You know, every Sasquatch encounter is weird. My encounter is weird. for anyone listening that's never encountered them, it seems very odd. But you know, seeing is believing. Did it change your mind as far as camping and kind of hiking and all that other stuff?
100%. You know, it really did. And you know, we kind of, I've chatted about this before with people, and especially now that I have kids of my own, and very protective of that, because I know I've done, you know, a lot of reading into, I know what happens, and I know that, you know, they're 5 feet from you. They go behind a bush and they can be gone. So yeah, absolutely. I'm not comfortable out there. I'm really not. You know, when it's just me and I don't have the kids to protect, I'm okay, because it's me, right? I can kind of, you know, I don't mind looking around and investigating, you know, if you see a stick structure or something, right? And you know, I'm not out there a ton, but whenever I'm, say, at a cottage and I go for a hike or something, I do, Wes. It's 100%. In fact, you know, we're in Ontario, so, you know, we often get invited to cottages. I don't own one, but we're always, you know, we get invites, so we go. And the first thing I do when I get there is I go and I check out the land, and I see, and I look, and I make sure that there's no evidence around. Like I don't, kids are running around, they'll go off, they'll play. I can't, you know, we're not watching them 100% of the time, be, you know, around there. You just can't. So I do, I take a walk, and call me crazy, but I'm looking for, you know, to see if I can see any sign. And, you know, I tell you a funny story. We did get an invite up to my wife's brother's cottage, and we went up there. He had rented this one. And when we got up there, man, there was structures, and there was tree bends and X's and you know healthy limbs jammed into the ground, that, you know, when I shook them and pulled them out, they went back up into place. So something had bent that down, you know into a bow and jammed it into the ground further than I possibly could have, things like that. And I turned around and I walked back and I said, "We're leaving." And I just refused to stay up there. You know, you call me a wuss, whatever you want to do, it's fine. But I'm very, very, I'm just, yeah, it changed things for me, for sure. You know, an investigator friend of mine would invite me out, and the only time he wanted to go out was in the middle of the night, right, to an active area. And I went once with them, and, you know, I was very, very tentative, and you know, I had 17 lights on me, but it's just not my thing. I don't want to be out there and encounter these things in the middle of the night. It's just not, you know, and I know you've said it 100 times, Wes, it's just, be careful what you're looking for, because, you know, if a 12-foot being that's, you know, 700 pounds jumps out in front of you, what are you going to do? Right. In Canada, we don't carry guns. So I have a knife, you know, a Rambo knife. Well, that's great. So it's just, I'm not interested, man.
Yeah. You know? I don't blame you.
Yeah.
I don't blame you. You know, it's one of those things to where, you know, I just had a long conversation with another quote unquote researcher, and I was telling him the same thing. And that's why I don't really go out a whole lot anymore. I still do occasionally. I don't want to sound like a hypocrite, because, you know, I still do go out, but it's on rare occasions. You know, most time it's late at night and it's cold and I don't want to go. You know what I mean? And, you know, on top of that, you know what, it's like you said, you know, be careful what you wish for. It's like, I had this conversation with Matt Moneymaker and the Finding Bigfoot. What are you guys actually going to do? If you guys are doing your little wood knocks, you guys are doing your little calls, and I say this to all the researchers, what are you going to do when one shows up and it's not happy? And you're right. You know, you run into something that's 7 to 9 foot tall, anywhere between 6 to 1,000 pounds or bigger, and it's not happy. What are you going to do now? You know, and most of these guys are, you know, so against carrying a weapon. It's like, well, what are you going to do in that case? It's like going out and hunting grizzly bears and going out and hoping for the best, calling in a grizzly bear just so you get a chance to see one. Well, what happens if that grizzly bear is pissed when he comes in? What are you going to do? But, you know, in the same breath, I think it needs to be proven. And yeah. I don't know that we'll prove it that way. It's, you know, what's odd is you hear a lot of encounters, Josh, and sometimes you hear a lot of paranormal stuff with encounters, and then sometimes you don't.
And it's the oddest thing. You know, if you're talking with ghosts or any other subject, everyone's kind of on the same page. In the Sasquatch world, no one's on the same page. You know, your encounter was very physical. It came down the tree. It looked at you. It screamed. And then it took off. And there's an encounter down in Texas I mention on the show all the time where this guy had stumbled across one sleeping. And I know exactly where he stumbled across it sleeping because I've been there. He said it jumped up, looked at him, took off. It ran about 20 feet, turned around and just screamed at him and then took off again. So, I mean, that's a clear, obviously, that's a, hey, don't follow me. I'm scared. I'm mad. I'm, you know, when, you know, they do that. But I wanted to ask you, what do you think Sasquatch is? I mean, you got a relatively good look at this thing. And obviously the first reaction was like, well, it's a monkey, which seems to be the normal reaction most people have, or, oh, it's a gorilla. But what do you think deep down, what do you think that these things are? And there's no wrong answer, Josh.
Yeah. Yeah. No, for sure. I, you know, my wife thinks I'm crazy. She just does not believe they exist, even though I've done what I've done and, you know, I talk how I talk and, but yeah, she just hasn't seen it. So she doesn't believe it. And to me, it's, you know, it's not a dummy that, you know, that's 100%. I've seen and spoken a lot of, you know, too many things and just heard too many things. And I don't think it's a dummy. Wes, I think that we're dealing with, you know, a type of people, but I also think, you know, again, I battle with myself. I don't know if you're the same way where, you know, you kind of go down this rabbit hole and then you think you've come to a conclusion and you're like, but what about that? And then you back to square one. I think maybe there's a few types, and I've heard you guys talk about the types, right? And I just think we're dealing maybe with a few different things here, right? And I don't know, the one I saw was very, a very physical type that, you know, is out there and it's scavenging and, you know, it has to eat deer, you know, all the time and, you know, and do that. I don't know. And then there's the other ones that people say, well, they're, you know, they're invisible and, they can ball up in energy. And that's what the lights you see is them moving around the woods and this ball of energy, because that's how they can move. But then do they have to eat? Like, you know what I'm saying? Or they can go to different dimensions. And so then why are they hunting? I just don't understand. Is it just for pleasure? I don't know. So that's what I really wrestle with, you know, those kind of questions. But me, the conclusions I've come to, is that, yeah, we're dealing with a type of people that are so in tune with the natural world that if they're going invisible, they're not really invisible, but they're making us think they are by, you know, changing the frequency. And I think it's all very scientific. I don't think it's magic or voodoo. I just think it's, they know how to manipulate the atmosphere or us, right? Even better, or us, because they live it, man. They're so in tune and it's been passed down from generation to generation of how to do these little tricks, right? Or how to make this sound that, you know, scrambles our brain a bit, you know, and turns us around. You know, if they do it this way, they get this kind of reaction. If they go it this way, you know, and they figure it out. I don't know, but they're intelligent for sure. I mean, you know, we haven't found one. So, well, you know, we haven't in the public eye anyways, right? It hasn't been discovered from a public standpoint. So, yeah, that's my belief. I mean, where are you at with that, man? Love to know where you're at.
Well, a couple things I can tell you. I can tell you the story about the types. No one, and this is inside information. No one's ever heard me say this before. And I'll come back to that. But to go back to what you originally said, I struggle with that a lot because I hear a lot of, you know, people would be shocked of the amount of encounters I hear on a weekly basis and the amount of people I talk to on a weekly basis. I know most people think I just show up, turn the mic on, and I got Josh on, and there you go. There's your show for the week. But there's actually a lot more that goes into the show than that. And most people don't want to come on. So I really thank you so much for
for taking the time to come on and share the encounter, because most, 9 times out of 10, most people don't want to come on the air. And it's really, it's frustrating sometimes when I really push someone to come on the air and then they get eaten alive. I struggle with it too, man. I mean, I struggle with it like everyone else. You know, there's a lot of things where you read accounts or you hear accounts and it sounds very physical. I would say probably 90% of the time, it's nothing more than a wild animal. I don't know that I agree with the people thing, but, and I can tell you why, but I think for the most part, 90% of your encounters are very much physical. They're hunting. It's very much like an accident. People run into them. They're out hunting. They're out camping like you and your friend were. And here this thing comes down the tree. It's very much accidental type encounters. And if you think there's something paranormal to it, well, why wouldn't it disappear before it dropped down out of the tree? I don't really understand that. You would think if it had that ability, it would have vanished when it was in the tree. That way you guys would have never seen it. You guys would have went on your way. And so you hear a lot of that. So it is, I mean, you can go from one side to the other. And I've had the two brothers on. I think you and I talked about that, Josh, the two brothers that I had on. I'd been talking to them for months behind the scenes. People have no clue how much I've talked to these guys. And they were dead on that it was nothing more than a dumb ape. And then it started changing and it got really weird really quick. Well, I believe that these guys, I'd talked to them for so long. I believed them. And I can tell you that their personalities had changed. I could tell where they went from no sleep to all of a sudden sleeping. I don't know if the audience, the members probably know what I'm talking about. The general audience probably has no clue what I'm talking about. But so when you hear these encounters, it is kind of confusing. Because you do hear, like I said, 90% of the encounters are very much nothing more than a wild animal you're running into. And then there's this 10% that's just weird. That's just odd. And I'm not really sure what to make of it. I'll tell you a funny story about the types that no, and I've never said this before. I've said this privately to Bear and Kumbo and some of the other guys. But what happened with the types, the four types, everyone pushes this four types thing, and I cringe every time I hear it. And I probably shouldn't say this. Maybe I should edit this out of the show. but what happened was I'd been doing the show for a long time. I still had a co-host at that time, and Woody was over one night, and we were sitting around drinking beers. And I said, hey, you know, I can't tell you how many beers I was into it at that point, but that's irrelevant. And I said, I think there's four types of these things. And Woody said, well, what do you mean? And I said, well, what's interesting is when you talk to people like on the West Coast, they seem to run into more like a gorilla, more like the Patterson-Gimlin type film. That's what people are seeing. They're seeing this large, even though Patty wasn't that big, but they're seeing this large, overgrown primate. And that's what they're seeing. I said, but what's interesting is if you go down south, and I can only speak with the United States and somewhat of Canada. But if you go down south here in the United States, you'll find people will say it looked very chimpanzee-like. And it was smaller. They're not as big. Most people will say they're between 6 to sometimes 8 feet tall. And that's generally speaking, not always, but you know, generally speaking, your average. And probably 500 pounds. And it looks very chimp-like. And I said, what's interesting is when you go out to the East Coast in the United States, people will say that it looks very human-like. They'll say it looked very much like a Native American. It's covered in hair, has the body of an animal, but the face reminded them of a Native American. And I hope that hopefully that comes across the right way. But you know what I mean. For sure. And that's how people are describing it. And then there was another type that I rarely ever got. But it had a snout. People would describe this thing with almost like a dog snout, not a dog man, but they would describe it with the snout. Basically, every other description of a Sasquatch you've ever heard, except for the face, had this protruding kind of a snout, you know, like you'd see on a like a pit bull or a like a baboon or
bulldog, maybe.
Yeah, a bulldog. People would say it looked very much like a baboon or that sort of thing. And generally with those encounters, and I had very few of them, but basically people would say it was very aggressive
And so I started coming up with this theory. I was telling Woody about this working theory I had about these four types. And I told my previous co-host about these four, you know, just a theory. It wasn't anything to set in stone. It wasn't anything to go out there and really blast everyone. It was more or less just a crazy theory I had from talking to eyewitnesses, because, you know, I talked to people, and what I ran into was not human-like at all. Well, I won't say that, but I mean, it was, I would, if you were to compare it to something, I'd say probably like a gorilla or a giant, somewhere between there. And so I came up with this working theory, and it was meant to be private. It wasn't meant to go out publicly. And, you know, my last co-host ran with it, and all of a sudden now there's four types, and I hear all the other shows running with this four types. And if you go look online, you can read about these four types. And I'm sitting there thinking, like, this is just some crazy theory I had after about six beers sitting talking to my brother about the four types. And there might be more than four types. I don't know. But all of a sudden everyone just kind of ran with this four types thing. And it frustrates me because I'm like, well, let's not put this out as gospel. This is just something, some crazy idea that I had about the four types, you know, based on eyewitnesses, what eyewitnesses were telling me based on geographical locations. It was just some crazy theory I came up with, and everyone ran with it like it was gospel, and it wasn't. You know, it's there's nothing out there you'll find regarding the four types that is any more than just you can almost trace it back to my show. And it's because I spilled it out to the last co-host I had. And, you know, everyone ran with it. And I'm like, you guys, this isn't, you know what I mean? Like, this is just some crazy, this wasn't meant to be public. This was just some crazy theory I had based on what I won't say crazy theory, but it was a theory I had based on witnesses I talked to. And now everyone's running with this. And so I don't know if there's four types, you know, but there seems to be a difference, in which makes sense that there would be, right? Because if you look at, like, here in the Pacific Northwest, you know, evolution, everyone cries about evolution being fake and not being real, but evolution's actually a real thing. And what I mean by that is, if you take a small island, why is everyone on the Philippines, why are they only like 5 feet 2 inches tall, and why are Americans, you know, on average, 6 feet tall? Well, there's a little bit of evolution there. You know, they're on a small island. That's a bad example, but you know where I'm going with it. And so it would make the, my point I'm trying to make is, it would make sense. Like, here in the Pacific Northwest, and as you get up into Canada, there's a lot of land to run on. There's a ton of food. There's a ton of water. There's a ton of cover. There's places that these things can go, and they'll never run into a human being. Now, down south, that's not the case. They will run into human beings. You know, they're kind of getting, even in the big thicket in Texas, they're getting squished into these little areas. Anyway, and that's my, and now you, and I feel like, what's his name, Paul Harvey, now you know the rest of the story. But that's where the four types came from. But it was more or less just a crazy theory I had based on eyewitness testimony. And again, that goes back to the witnesses like yourself, Josh, that are willing to come on the show. I would have never came up with something like that if people weren't open to sharing their experiences. And so I don't know what these things are. I really don't. I think there's something more to them. I find it odd that, you know, they're found in, these things can be found in China, Canada, United States, Mexico, Australia, Russia, and everyone kind of has a name for it. And if there's a cover-up going on here in the United States, then there has to be that same cover-up going on in Canada. There has to be that same cover-up going on in Russia. There has to be that same cover-up going on in Australia and in China and all these other places. And it blows me away. We haven't been able to catch up to these things. So I think there's more to this story than just a simple primate running around. The government sure seems to be really quick on squashing anything that is real evidence. They have no qualms about sending out a couple guys out to your house to intimidate you. They have no qualms about, and why is that? You know what? I don't understand. Why is that? Is it because they're protecting some, if this was a chimpanzee running around the United States, we would catch up with it. we just would. There'd be a hunter that would, you know, we would just catch up with it. And the fact that we haven't caught up with this thing makes me think there's more going on here than I think most people realize. And what they are, I don't know. I mean, you could be right. They could be people. It's hard to say. But, you know, a chimpanzee is what, 98% of our DNA. So I guess what is your definition of a person? You know, if 98% is good enough, then I guess we can say chimpanzees are people too. And gorillas are people, because they're so close to us in the DNA that it's almost shocking, that we don't give them rights, because they are very close to us. But in my rambling, you know, I guess my answer is, I don't know what they are. I really don't know. I can tell you a lot about their behavior. I can tell you about what I think will happen when you run into one. I can tell you about if it does this, then you should do this. And it's mainly based off eyewitness testimony. It's like you and I were talking before we went on the air. And I said, you know, after a while, Josh, you know, after about 2 minutes, I can tell you exactly what's going to happen in this encounter. Yeah. Because I've heard so many. And that's not an arrogant thing to say. It's just I've heard so many encounters. That was a long-winded answer. The point I'm trying to make is, I don't know. At the end of the day, I really don't know what these things are.
Yeah, no, first of all, I appreciate the answer, because, you know, it's interesting to hear that story, you know, from you. Because as I said, you know, I've listened to the show for a while. And
oh, with the four types?
Yeah, the four types. So it all kind of makes sense now, because you're right, man. Before I heard it on here, I'd never heard that, but now I hear it everywhere. So, yeah, you know, that makes complete sense. And you thank me for coming on, and I want to, you know, thank you. The honor's mine. It's, you know, you do a lot for people, and, you know, you put a lot of time and effort in. I don't think people realize how much time it takes to put something like this together. So, you know, kudos to you, because you're helping everyone out who has a belief in this, whether they disagree or agree. You know, we all have a common purpose, and you got a spearhead thing going on here, and it's great. So thank you for sticking with it, and you know making people happy. So please don't stop. You know, talking to you, it's interesting, because something just came up in my head about my encounter that I never thought of before. And my question now that I'm thinking, why did it come out of the tree? Just when you were talking about, you know, they can go invisible, or if they can't go invisible, but if they can, why wouldn't it have just disappeared? Right.
Right.
I'm thinking, you know, when I think about my friend's reaction saying, look, a monkey, we were kind of already hearing the sound. So it's almost like this thing was coming down, and then he heard it, and he said, look, a monkey, once, because he saw it before me, and then I looked over. So why wouldn't it have just sat there silently, you know? And especially a black thing in it, we wouldn't have noticed it, you know what I mean? It's almost like, you know, they get bored or they get nervous, I don't know, maybe nervous, and it just had this fight or flight response, maybe like us, right? I don't know.
Yeah, it makes sense, you know, because being in a tree, it's a very vulnerable position to be in. And it makes me think of my own encounter. You know, that's what I thought. I thought, well, it's a monkey in a tree, you know, the one that we saw in a tree, and the way it was kind of wrapped around the tree reminded me of a monkey in a tree. But I've even had a recent witness on, and he described exactly what you described. He was talking about this thing that actually chased them back, and they jumped in a cooler, and it actually had run into it. It's a long story, but I'll send you the link if you want to listen to the show. It's very similar to your story. But the one thing that I caught on with what you said and what he said is when it came down the tree, it was like using its feet to kind of almost like brakes as it was coming down. And that's exactly what he described in his encounter as it coming down. Makes you wonder where Mama was at. You know, this thing doesn't sound like it was that big.
No, it wasn't that big. And certainly it wasn't. And, you know, it's funny, Wes, you know, I haven't seen, and well, I have, I believe that's what I saw. It was an Ontario Sasquatch, or a, you know, Sasquatch from this side of the planet. But, you know, there really isn't that much footage, right? I mean, we have obviously Patty and some other really good footage up from your side of the continent. But from our side, there's not a lot, right? So a lot of encounters, but a lot of kind of explanations, but not a lot of visuals for people to see and kind of, as you said, decipher, you know. So someone like yourself is invaluable because you've heard so many stories and encounters that you can put pieces of the puzzle together, where you're in a pretty privileged position to do that, right? So people kind of need to listen to that, because, you know, I don't think there's anyone who's heard more, you know, maybe DeHinden or someone who went around and listened to all these stories, right? But it's pretty amazing, man, what you said with the four types. And you know, just to reiterate, when I say a type of people, I don't mean like, you know, grocery shopping and they have diapers for the kids. I just mean, you know, maybe there's a culture there, right? There's more than just, you know, me, man, kill, right? Like I think maybe there's intelligence, but, you know, there's some, you know, hyper intelligence there. So when I say a type of people, I mean, a community of them, right? And I don't know in what facet, I don't know. Because there's stories, you're right, of people walking through the woods, you know, being loud and running into a family of them laying around. It's the weirdest thing. So if they're so good in the forest, how can you just bump into them? Right. And then I go on other people's channels or something, or I hear another story or talk with, and they say that, you know, they have these sentries that are all around them that, you know, they're there to alert the rest of the group that someone's coming their way. So while you're bumping into these lazy ones laying there, like after a meal, right. or you've got this highly sort of military-esque, group of them that moves through the woods, like they're Navy SEALs. So which one is it? You know what I'm saying? Or maybe they're all different and they're just like, your family's different than my family, right? One family is very, you know, outdoorsy, where we're not, you know, we like to stay in the city, or, you know what I'm saying? So who knows, man? It's a very good point.
Good question. And there's nothing wrong with saying it's this type of people. You know, I've talked to people who've run into them and they said it looked very Neanderthal looking in the face. Looked very much like a Neanderthal or like the Native American. So I can understand why people would look at that and go, well, they're a type of people. I mean, if I would have had that type of experience, I have the ability. I'm not arrogant enough to where I can't put myself in someone else's shoes. And I realize, and if I had that type of encounter, I might think that they're people. But they have very animalistic type behavior too as well. And it's very odd because you'll find some human type behavior, and then you'll also find a lot of animalistic type behavior. And I don't know that there's too many animals on this planet that do that. Maybe your higher primates, you know, act like that. Because, you know, I've seen chimpanzees that do very, and I just posted a video on Facebook of this chimpanzee smoking this guy and destroying him in ping pong. They were playing ping pong, and I'm telling you, this monkey would destroy me in a game of ping pong. So, I mean, there is, and so I can kind of understand what people are talking about when they say it's human. I tend to disagree. I don't think it's human, but they do have very human-like behavior sometimes. They can be very compassionate sometimes. I would say most of the time they seem to have short tempers, and they're not the human contact. What you experience, Josh, is what the type of behavior that you can expect. If it's not going to charge you, which in this case, it was probably a small one, it's going to turn around, scream at you. And that seems very animalistic to me. Obviously, you guys were no threats. So you guys are a bunch of little kids. So there was no threat there. But, you know, if that would have been a cougar or a grizzly, you guys would have been dead, you know, if it wanted you guys. And so it's hard to say. It really is hard to say on what these things are. You know, it'd be nice to have that answer. What are they? Is it a monkey? Is it a primitive human? Is it an alien? You know, and that's all I really want to know is what are they? I can tell you a lot about their behavior based on eyewitness testimony. I can tell you a lot about what they do based on eyewitness testimony. But the real answer is, what are they?
Yeah, no, for sure. And what I experienced was very much animalistic, as you said. So my conclusion is more off of everything else I've, you know, listened to or read or something beyond that, right? But from, you know, if I just went off my experience, it's like I saw an animal, you know what I mean? So,
you know, what's a great thing for skeptics? You were talking about your wife earlier, how she thinks you're nuts. I posted a clip to the blog on Sasquatch Chronicles earlier this week, and it was 12 clips, 12 of the famous clips to listen to. And I think for any skeptic, if you, you know, put a video evidence aside, put encounters off to the side, put all of your physical evidence off to the side, and just have someone listen to those 12 clips and go, tell me what this is. Okay, you think it's human? Okay, let's hear the next clip. And I'm willing to hear a skeptic go through each one of those clips. But I think by the time you get through all 12 of them, most people shrug their shoulders and go, I don't know what that thing is. I don't know what's making that noise. So if you get a chance, maybe have your wife listen to those 12 clips and just have her listen to it and go, well, what animal do you think this is? And see what she says. And you might be surprised on what she has to say. Because I can't think of any. And listen, I've been out in the woods a lot back in the day. Back when I was a young man, I was out in the woods a lot. And a lot of those audio clips, if you'd asked me prior to my encounter to try and explain these audio clips, I couldn't have. I would have just said, I don't know. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, no, for sure. You would have listened to it and said, I don't know, but you would have disregarded it because you hadn't experienced it yet. And isn't that funny? You've been in the woods your entire life, and it's not till you're, you know, sitting in a car, if I remember correctly, not even in the woods, really, and you go through this, right? Very strange.
Yeah, it is strange. Yeah, we were deep in the woods. You think if we would have had an encounter, it would have been all the times we were hunting, but yeah, I don't remember ever really seeing anything. You know, and so that's why I always, you know, I'm easy on hunters when they come on or when I talk to them on the phone and they say, listen, Wes, I've been hunting my whole life. I get it. I completely get it. And it's, like I said, it's, you know, it's a whole different story when you run into them. Be careful what you wish for.
Exactly. That's right. That's what I say.
But I appreciate you coming on, Josh, and taking the time to share the encounter. Like I said, I'll have to look up that old show. I know it was probably 200 episodes ago or maybe more. But I know I had your friend on the show and he told a very similar encounter. I remember him even talking about his dad who would, I don't know why my voice is cracking, but they must be, I'll say it's allergies. Even his dad, you know, his dad would take off from camp and go out and do this game where he would, and if I remember right, his dad was like a major outdoorsman, constantly out in the woods, knew how to hunt, I'll have to look it up. But if my memory is right,
he was an outdoorsman. I mean, this guy would go and get these, you know, odd beers and make runs for beers to the, you know, down to the US where you guys are, and always on the move, you know, and, you know, always going out to the East Coast, and love stomp at Tom Connors and one of those guys. So yeah, he was a bit of a wild man. So yeah, to your point, that would be incredible if that was my friend, and kind of neat to get both perspectives on it, the West, for sure. So yeah. I appreciate you having me on here, man. It's, like I said, an honor, and, you know, I love what you do, buddy. So keep it up.
No, the honor's mine. Thanks again.
All right. Take care.
And that's it for tonight, everyone. Remember, if you've had an encounter, shoot me an email. My email address is wes@sasquatchchronicles.com. If you get a chance, check out the website, sasquatchchronicles.com. Get all of your gear. Become a member. I will see you guys next time. Of you.
turn with the lights on.